Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Philippians, if you have the app, you can go to more sermon notes and whatever today's title is. I don't remember. It's the latest one. It'll be at the top. Epaphroditus, maybe? Messenger? Oh, good. A letter written from prison to the church in Philippi and to the church in Calgary and from wherever you may be watching the service today. We've come through Philippians chapter 1 where Paul would write and he would say, be in unity. He'd say, listen, there's enough adversity from without. Let's not have adversity from within. Let's get along. Let there be no division. Value each other. He will talk about think like Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Humble, obedient, caring for others. He will talk about exalting Jesus. Therefore, God has given him a name above every other name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Don't wait to do it then, do it now. Bow your knee, confess him as Lord, and work out your salvation. Partner with God as your salvation works out into every area of your life, and do it without complaining and do it without causing harm. If you might recall, Paul couldn't get to Philippi. He's in what we believe is a Roman prison. And they would not give him a day pass to travel to Philippi. So he did two things. Number one, he wrote a thank you note. Wrote a thank you note to the Philippian church. The church who had sent him a gift to help in the midst of his incarceration. They cared about him and they sent a gift. And then he would send a couple of friends. One he's going to send now, one he's going to send later. Timothy will come later once Paul figured out what was going to happen with him. And he writes that, once I know what's going to happen to me. He says that, we read that casually, wonder what's going to happen. He's referring to whether I'm going to be executed or not immediately. Timothy, we talked about last week, this man of proven character. And now it's time to talk about Epaphroditus, Philippians chapter 2. This will be our last week in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, 25 to 30 says this. I thought it necessary, Paul writes, to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I've sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to compensate for your absence in service to me. In Acts chapter 16, Paul will show up at Philippi. He's been through Lystra and Derbe, and he'll show up to Philippi with his old friend Silas and with his new friend Timothy. Timothy, who he met. And after an exciting moment, when a woman named Lydia is saved and baptized, her and her household. After an exciting moment, Paul and Silas, Timothy was with them, but Timothy wasn't put in prison. Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. And after a song and after an earthquake and after a Philippian jailer is saved and his household were baptized, a church would be planted, believers, followers of Christ in Philippi. Somehow they would learn that Paul's in prison again, likely in Rome, and this church in Philippi would want to help him. What affection, what care. They would want to help him, and they'd want to send him some resources. Something. More than one. We don't know what the gift was that the church in Philippi sent to him. In the old archives, they have found a cake with a file. We don't think that was from Philippi. We don't know, but it was substantial enough for him to say, I want to thank you for the things, plural, that you sent to me, because now, because of them and because of you, I am full and I abound. It wasn't just a little. Somehow the gift was substantial. Verse 18 of chapter 4, it says this, indeed, I have all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Look what you've done. But because they did not have Amazon Prime, they didn't have UPS, they didn't have FedEx, they didn't have Pure Later, they only had See You Later. And that's what they said to Epaphroditus, we'll see you later. And they sent this gift with him. Rome to Philippi, it's over 1,300 kilometers. Calgary to Victoria, BC is 1,165 kilometers. We used to say as the crow flies, we now say as Google Maps shows us. 1,165 kilometers. So if you were to walk 8 hours a day at an average speed of 6 kilometers an hour for 27 days in a row, you would be getting close. This was no short journey. From Philippi to Rome. It's a journey of weeks, maybe months. And a lot can happen in this generous gift that they're going to send Paul. For the journey to be worth it, it must have been something substantial. Not just a little loose change, not just a couple of things. Whatever he was bringing to make that kind of effort and to make that kind of trip, it's got to count. And in fact, Paul would say, I am full and abound because of what you sent, this substantial gift. And because it's so substantial, and because the trip is so long and there's a cost involved in that, they would need to find someone who was trustworthy. You're carrying that gift and you're going that far. This is an important task, and so I know who will send Epaphroditus. He would be the messenger. The marvelous part of the story is he made it. He made it, just a behind the scene look, just in case you haven't read the book, he made it. He took the gift, whatever it was, he made it, he accomplished his mission. And something more, because Paul will write and refer to him not only as their messenger, but as a minister to him. He was able to minister. But something happened, and we don't know what. Epaphroditus got sick. And he got really sick. We don't know if it was on the journey. We don't know if it's when he arrived in Rome. We don't know. But what we do know is this. We almost lost him. He was at the point of death. And somehow, word of his sickness got back to the church in Philippi. Now, I want to let you know right here, we'll just step up, he's okay. He's okay. That was not a sickness that ended in his death. Paul attributes it. It's interesting, he doesn't say because of God's healing, he says because of God's mercy. God had mercy on him and also on me and on you, lest I be burdened with sorrow upon sorrow. Paul's greatly relieved. But Philippi, the church, had not yet heard of his recovery. All they knew is that he was close to death. I don't know how they would feel when they hear that this one that they sent on the journey is close to death. If they'd feel responsible, if they'd feel loss, if they'd feel sorrow, if they'd feel confusion. He's on God's mission. But whatever we could do to try and impose our guessing on what that church would feel like, what we don't have to do is we don't have to guess how Epaphroditus felt, because the Bible tells us. It tells us this. He was longing, Paul writes, he was longing for you all and was distressed because he heard, because you heard that he was sick. He was longing and distressed because you heard that he was sick. What kind of person is this? A trustworthy messenger and minister who cares more about how his sickness has affected others than how it affected him. Make no mistake, he's concerned that the church in Philippi has heard this news and are so impacted by it. That word distressed, in the New Testament, there's three Greek words that refer to distress. This is the strongest one. It means a heaviness, it means a burden, a weight. It means depressed. That stress is depressed. There's been a depression. He was so concerned that he had caused them concern. So Paul sends this letter that you're looking at right now. He sends this letter with him. He has been not only entrusted with this gift from Philippi to where Paul is, but he is now entrusted with the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God that we would know would become the book of Philippians. Epaphroditus, trusted. Paul sends him back and he says, you can read it in the book. I wanted you to know that he's okay. But also, not just that he's okay, but that he was my minister. And I'll go over some of the things that Paul said about him. But he said this, I want you to hold people like him in high regard, in high esteem. Epaphroditus, look at him, hold him and people like him in high regard. Because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to compensate for your absence. You couldn't be here with me, so he made up the difference. He risked his life. You couldn't be here, so he made up the difference. Do you know people like that who just make up the difference? Epaphroditus, that's all we know about him. This is it. From Paul to the church in Philippi, and we know his name, and 2,000 years later, here we are still talking about Epaphroditus. Do you know what his name means? His name means favored by Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love, devoted to Aphrodite, or belonging to Aphrodite, comparable to the Roman goddess Venus. Goddess of love that you are, oh Venus. It's comparable to her. It's this Greek, this is who he was. He was born and his parents devoted him, dedicated him. This is what his name means. Belonging to, favored by, devoted to Aphrodite. When Paul came to Philippi, he was thrown in prison for preaching the gospel, and we saw a church planted, and Greeks got saved. Greeks came to faith. Aphrodite's family. Aphrodite's family would have been Greek. Someone who's dedicated to the Greek goddess is now giving his life for the sake of the gospel. Don't tell me that God can't change your life. The Greek goddess Aphrodite, goddess of love, of lust, of passion, of pleasure and procreation. Aphrodite, the patron goddess of prostitutes. Epaphroditus. Don't tell me about where you start. Talk to me about where you finish. You may be a product of your past, but you do not have to be a prisoner of your past. And if God can use Epaphroditus, dedicated and devoted and favored by a Greek goddess, that's where he started. If God can use him, God can use you. And God can use me. Paul will call Epaphroditus a brother, a fellow worker, a soldier, a messenger, a minister, someone to hold in high esteem. And listen, this is all we know about him. We know that he carried a gift to someone in prison. And we know that he was a messenger. And we know that he carried the word of God to the people in Philippi. Paul says, people like him, hold them in high esteem. Hold them in high regard. All he did was carry a gift to someone in prison and bring a message. The message, the word of God, to people who needed to hear it. Make no mistake, when Paul uses this word, he came close to the point of death. In the same chapter, just a few verses earlier, Paul is referring to Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Paul's saying, look at Epaphroditus. He came close to the point of death for the work of Christ. Hold him in high regard. He's saying, follow Jesus like Epaphroditus. Follow him as he follows the Lord. If God can change the course of a life like Epaphroditus, someone dedicated to a pagan god, if God can use him, God can use us. It's the life-changing message of the gospel. And all he did was carry a message, carry a gift, and minister. Loved ones, you carry a gift. You carry a message. Corinthians tells us this. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You are a messenger with a message. You carry the gift of life within you. Now, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ, would you take the message of Jesus to a world that so desperately needs to know that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord, a world who desperately needs to know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You carry the gift of God within you. You have the message of hope within you to share. Would you say like Isaiah? Would you say that, like perhaps Epaphroditus? And they said, we need somebody to take a gift to Paul. Paul said, I've got the book of Philippians. Would you just simply, like Isaiah the prophet, when the Lord said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Would you respond, here am I, send me. We would take the message and the gift of God to people who need to know. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you, Emmanuel, came to be with us and show us how to live. And you became obedient and humbled yourself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, thank you that you showed us the way. You invited us. This invitation to follow you, there's a price that's involved. It's a free gift, but it costs us our life, that we would be willing to take up our cross, deny ourselves daily and follow you. So God, we want to be found as those who are faithful and those who are obedient and those who are willing to follow you, no matter the cost, no matter the price, even if it means our lives. God, thank you that you had mercy on Epaphroditus, on Paul, on the church in Philippi. God, we thank you that you have mercy today. And God, we want to take that message of mercy and hope to people who need to know. God, thank you that we don't need a Bible school degree. We don't need letters behind our name. We have the gift of God within us. Jesus, you live with us and within us. We have a message of hope in the pages of Scripture. God, we want to be the voice of hope to this world. God, would you send us? Here am I, send me. Here we are, send us, oh God. That we would be like Epaphroditus and just simply take the gift of God that is Jesus Christ and share you with the world. And that we would be your messengers. God, we don't need the credit. We don't even need to be held in high esteem. We just say, Lord, send us. We're willing to take as messengers the message of the good news that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And as we approach this Christmas season, as we move forward into December, God, we refuse to let the message only be heralded in malls as the carols go by, in stores as we hear this wondrous season where there seems to be such an open door to share about Jesus. God, help us to be the messengers and not rely on others. God, we want to partner with your whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world until all have heard. Jesus, use us, we pray, that we would take the gift and the message to the world in which we live. We pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.